chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. We're going to be studying verses 25 and 26. But I'm going to kind of back up a little bit so we can keep it in the context of what we're looking at here. Genesis chapter 9, I'm going to start in the 20th verse. Noah, a man of the soil, proceeded to plant a vineyard. When he drank some of the wine, he became drunk and lay uncovered in his tent. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw his father's nakedness and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it across their shoulders. Then they walked in backwards and covered their father's nakedness. Their faces were turned the other way so that they would not see their father's nakedness. When Noah awoke from his wine and found out what his youngest son had done to him, he said, "Cursed be Canaan, the lowest of slaves will he be to his brothers." He also said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem. May Canaan be the slave of Shem." Let's pray together as we come to this passage. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the things that you teach us in your word that we wouldn't even grasp, Lord, if we wouldn't study it. So we just thank you for this time today that we can come and study your word and understand the truths that you have for us in it, how they apply to our lives, and the principles and the promises that we can stand on, and the things that we can trust on from your word. So, Lord, we just give this time up to you now. We ask that nothing of man be involved here, but only what you have for us, Lord. Send your spirit now, that he might fill this place and fill each of us, that we know your truths. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now you may be seated. While you're sitting down, I'm going to ask a question. First, is the stereo on back there? Okay, good. Have you ever noticed how in some families there's a natural tendency of that family to know how to do certain things? Like they find it easy to do mechanical, electrical, or garden. The family has a green thumb, you know? Or they're good at bookwork or just a whole bunch of other things that other people aren't really good at. Have you ever noticed that? How about in your life? Are there things that just kind of come naturally to you? Come on, somebody's got to have something.
Getting into trouble.
Wow, nobody wants to fess up to a green thumb or just... how mechanicalism and working on mechanical things just is like, yeah, no problem, I can do that. Wow. Oh, okay. Why do you think some people are more inclined to be able to do these things than others?
They use them.
They use them?
They're passed down.
That's, yeah. Okay. See, there are things that come easy to others, but other people just, you know, it's like, I have no clue how you would even do that. Okay? Some would say that it's their family who had influence upon them about those things, while others would say, you know what, I was never exposed to any of these things, and when I was growing up, and you know what, I just find it easy to be able to figure these things out. We're all gifted in certain ways and talented in certain things. Could you imagine if the traffic stopped? Could you imagine if we were all good bookkeepers? Where would we live?
In my world.
In your world. We've got a good bookkeeper here. You know, it would be quite different. Well, last week we began to look at this prophecy that Noah gives by the power of the Holy Spirit, which kind of laid out the basic character and spiritual leanings of his three sons. Shem would be motivated by spiritual considerations, Japheth by intellectual, and Ham by physical. Now, these are all part of our makeup as the way God created us as his people in his image, spirit, soul, and body. One would be more focused on spirit. One would be more focused on soul. What? By the way, what is the soul? Does anybody know? A lot of people are confused about this. When you get to heaven, how will people know who you are? Nobody knows.
Your unique personality.
Yes, our soul is our unique personality. Okay, that's what we take with us when we get to heaven. So, and I'm going to get sidetracked here, and I apologize already. But a lot of Jewish scholars say that when the rapture comes, or when people are taken into heaven, they're given 30-year-old bodies. Now, they say that. Now, for those of us who are way past 30, that sounds really good. Okay? They say that because the Jews weren't allowed to enter the priesthood until they were 30. So, if we're going to heaven to be priests of God, then, you know, their calculation is we're going to be about 30 years old. So we have a spirit, we have a soul, and we have a body. We have physical needs. Okay? And one of Noah's sons would be concerned or have consideration for each of these parts. These considerations would become evident in a general way through the nations that would descend from their progenitors, Shem, Japheth, and Ham, their ancestors. It seems that God had set a genetic predisposition in each of them that would direct them and their descendants in the future. It's kind of like this. Paul says in Acts 17:26, "From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live." See, Paul says, God put this all together. Do you realize you're here today because God made an appointment for you to be here today? God put you where you live today because that's where he determined you should live today. See, each of Noah's sons would be considered a servant of God for the well-being and the advancement of the human race, serving in each area that God had set for them to serve for the benefit of all mankind. Much like he has determined the spiritual gifts we have, which are different from one another, for the benefit of the church. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, we're going to look at 3 through 8. Romans chapter 12, beginning in the third verse. It says, For the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. And if it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. See, Paul starts out this passage with, don't think more highly of yourself because we're all equal. We all have a place in the body of Christ to serve how God would have us serve. Now turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 6. First Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 6. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, you know, until I started studying this, I never picked up what this passage says. In all men. Not just in the church. In everybody. So God could have easily determined by a genetic predisposition that everyone's gifts and talents would serve the greater good of the world. Just as each would have a gift in the church to benefit the church, so the genetic predisposition would be a benefit to the whole race, to the whole human race. Remember that each of Noah's sons are servants of God for the well-being and the advancement of the human race. But Ham's descendants would be servants to the servants. His descendants would be the ones who would serve the descendants of his brothers in a unique way. They would be the ones who would provide, in a sense, they would provide the material, the physical things needed for them to do their work. Ham's descendants would be the ones who would provide the food, the clothing, the shelter, the weapons, the machinery, the transportation, the technical inventions, and other equipment. Doing so, Ham's descendants would be serving God while serving his brother's descendants. It's kind of like what we're called to do in the church. In Galatians 5:13 says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." You see, God set up this whole system so that we would serve one another in love. And in the church, we've come to the realization of that because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Now, do any of you know what your spiritual gifts are? Okay. Do you know there's an upside and a downside to spiritual gifts? Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, if you have a spiritual gift of leadership, what are some people going to think about you? Boy, are you bossy. Okay. You're always telling everybody what to do. Well, see, that's the downside to that spiritual gift. See, the downside to Ham's direction from God is that he and his descendants would be the ones who would have to deal more directly with the curse of the ground than his brothers and their descendants would. You know, back in chapter 3, verses 17 and 19, God curses the ground because of Adam's sin. And in chapter 5, in verse 29, we're reminded of that because of what Noah is named. In chapter 5, verse 29, it says, "He named him Noah and said, 'He will comfort us in the labor and painful toil of our hands caused by the ground the Lord has cursed.'" So God had put a curse on the ground because Adam and Eve did not obey his commands. So in a sense, Ham was cursed because of his direct dealings with the curse itself, being helping people get things from the ground. Even though all his descendants and the work that they would do was necessary for the survival of mankind and God's purpose for them, they would be the ones who would feel that curse more directly. Now, when we come to chapter 10 in a couple weeks, or maybe even a couple weeks, we'll see that the descendants of Shem, now Shem is the one who is going to be in the spiritual, are the Jews, the Arabs, the Syrians, and others from the Middle East. The descendants of Japheth would be the Indo-Europeans, and then by the process of elimination, the descendants of Ham, would be the Egyptians, the Sumerians, the Phoenicians, the Hittites, the Canaanites. Some believe that the modern African and Mongol tribes, including the Chinese and the Japanese, as well as the American Indians and the South Sea Islanders, are also likely of Hamitic descent. And they figured this out by tracing back where they all came from. In general, the Hamites would have been less interested in science, philosophy, or theology. They would be more involved in material pursuits, finding, making, building, and providing. Okay, they have been the great inventors, the developers of technology, as well as the hard workers on farms and valiant warriors in battle. So, some of the ways that the Hamites would serve mankind would be as following. They were the original explorers and settlers of every part of the world after the incident of Babel. They were the first ones to shoot out. Okay, they were the first to cultivate and develop crops like potatoes, corn, beans, cereals, and other food staples. They said, we need basic things to live on. They were the first ones to figure out how to cultivate these things. They were the first to develop most of the basic structural forms like buildings, tools, and materials. They were the first to develop most of the usable fabrics for clothing, along with sewing and weaving devices. They were the first who did, they discovered and invented a wide variety of medicines, surgical practices, and the instruments for them. It's pretty amazing when you look at all this stuff. They invented the basic concepts of mathematics, as well as surveying and navigation. They developed the workings of commerce and trade, came up with money, banks, postal systems, and things like that. They also developed paper and ink, block printing, movable type, and other things that help in writing and communication with one another. These are all things that they had their hands in from the very beginning. Now, there's a gentleman, Arthur Sustens, who wrote a book, Noah's Three Sons. This is a quote from him. He says, "All of these can be discovered by tracing back to the origins of every practical device needed for man's physical survival and convenience, all coming from Hermetic people." See, they really have been the servants of mankind in such wonderful and amazing ways, because they found ways to make it easier to work with the curse that's upon the ground. Have you ever let people know you're good at doing something? What's the first thing they ask you then?
To do it.
Yeah. Oh, if you're good at that, can you... You know, I used to be a good mover. I'm not anymore. And our old pastor in the church week we grew up in, whenever they had to move, I was the first phone call they made, because they had a piano that his wife treasured. And they said, "You know, you understand how to move this thing. Could you please come and move the piano? We'll do the rest. You come move the piano." So myself and my boys, sometimes my wife, we would go and we would move their piano for them from place to place, because we knew that they entrusted us with their confidence. Now, that works until you find someone who's better at it than the person you were using before, right? Then you're no longer calling them, you're calling the new person. Well, see, there's another downside to this prophecy. Ham and his descendants would have been only allowed to go so far with the great things that they had done. Sooner or later, the descendants of Shem, Japheth, would take their territories or their inventions and develop them further and utilize them for their own advantage to accomplish their service to mankind. So they would take... I'm going to give you an example. Why is the King James Bible so prevalent today? Nobody knows. Good. Okay, you're going to learn something new this morning. Does anybody know what the Bible that is the most accurate translation there ever was, what it was? It was the Geneva Bible. Okay. The Geneva Bible and the King James Bible were produced at the same time. But King James had a printing press. And he could print King James Version Bibles cheaper than the Geneva Bible could be printed. Even though, and I'm going to get myself in trouble if I say this, the King James used the Latin Vulgate in a lot of its translation. Okay? And there are a lot of mistakes in the Latin Vulgate. Whether they came over or not, I'm not going to say. But they were there. But because he could produce his better, kind of like China today. You know, how many of us go to Walmart and buy things that are made in China and don't even know about it because they're cheaper? Yeah, we don't like to. You know, and sometimes if we find out, we go, "Ooh, I'm not buying that." You know, but that's just the way it is. And that's the way it was with the King James Version Bible. He could print them so much faster and so much cheaper that people just bought them. Now, this prophecy that Noah is given is a divine description of the future facts to come of Ham's descendants, independent of Shem and Japheth's assistance. In other words, Shem and Japheth weren't going to help Ham with this. This is what Ham was going to go and do on his home, his descendants. And this prophecy would be fulfilled because of the genetic dispositions within Ham's descendants and by the divine leading of God, and not because of any involvement or intervention of man. God had arranged them in the makeup so that they would have a tendency to do these things. In 1 Corinthians 15:38, Paul makes a comparison of what we're going to be like when we're risen from the dead. But there's a little spiritual truth that's mixed in here. It's in 1 Corinthians 15:38 says, "But God gives a body as He determined. To each kind of seed, He gives its own body." You see, God is the one who determined how each of Noah's sons would serve Him in the future. And He put a genetic predisposition in them for that purpose, so that they would have a tendency to be good at certain things. Now, in verse 26 of our passage in Genesis 9, Noah goes on, he also said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem. May Canaan be the slave or the servant of Shem." See, Noah's prophecy predicted the course of Ham's descendants and their relationship to all mankind, dealing with the curse of the ground and the material needs of mankind. So now Noah turns his words of the prophecy to his son Shem. Shem would have shown great love and concern and respect for his father in his brief fallen state. Remember last week we talked about Noah, 950 years old, one sin marked in his life. One. And who shows up to help him in that sin? His son Shem and Japheth. They come and they put a covering over their father, not to look at him, so that he wouldn't be embarrassed by his position, his situation. See, Shem's love and devotion to his father and to God made an impression upon Noah. And it was evident to God by the way he lived and by his actions. His faith in God and his trust in God's promises left a mark on Noah and on God. It's kind of like what James says in James 2:22. You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. Now James isn't talking about Shem here, but you could easily put Shem's name into this, that by his faith in God and his respect for his father and his respect for God, his actions showed that he was a true believer, and he wanted to do what was right and not make a spectacle out of his father like Noah's son Ham wanted to. So Noah foresaw how God's spiritual blessing would come upon Shem and his descendants. Noah proclaims, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem." What does he mean by that? Have any of you ever had someone say, "Well, it's because of your faith that you're like that"? I can remember when I was driving, when we were living back east, and I was driving truck for a pipe into a pipe company, and they called me in. I was had left there, started a business, and they had called me in because they needed someone to run a load of pipe from the shop up state, and I was the only one available, so they asked me to come do it. And I loaded up the pipe and probably had about 20, 30,000 pounds of pipe, headed up the interstate. I'm in the middle lane of the interstate, go over a set of really bad bumps, and the steering wheel does this in my hand. And I look to my right, and there's a tractor trailer. I look to my left, and there's a little Volkswagen Rabbit. Had a sunroof. I could see the mom and the dad and the little one in the back seat. I said, "Lord, please, don't let me hit them." And I heard a small voice in my head that said, "Step on it." I'm like, "What? Step on it?" I mean, that's the opposite of what you'd want to do. So I stepped on it. And I went past the tractor trailer. And just as I got past the tractor trailer, the truck drifted slowly off to the side, caught the guardrail. And as I hit the guardrail, it started snapping the lug nuts off the front tire. Came to the end of the guardrail, and the tire dropped in and pulled me off the road. Okay? When I got back to work, everybody at work said to me, "You, because of who you are and what you believe in God, God protected you through all of that." I know God protected me. You know, how many people would step on it when their steering wheel goes out? You know, I knew that God protected me in that, and they recognized it too. See, when someone recognizes your relationship with Christ, it is a huge compliment. And this is what Noah recognizes in his son Shem. Shem had a personal relationship with God, and it would be through Shem's line that the great Redeemer would come, the seed of the woman, as we're promised in Genesis 3:15, who would bring blessing to all mankind through Christ, through Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:8 says, "The Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you." Whose descendant was Abraham? Shem's. He was Shem's descendant. In fact, if you look in your Bible in Luke chapter 3 and verse 36, you'll see that Jesus was a descendant of Shem. You see, it's by faith in God's Word and trust in Jesus' work on the cross that we all can enter into that relationship that Shem had with God. Shem trusted in the promised Redeemer to come. We look back and trust in the Redeemer who came for us. And we can enter into relationship with God through Him. John 1:12 puts it this way, "Yet to all who received Him," meaning Jesus, "to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God." See, Shem understood this kind of relationship by faith. Shem would not be prevented, even though the devil would try, and all you have to do is read the Old Testament, and you'll see how the devil would try over and over and over again to stop the coming of that Redeemer. Even though the devil would try, God would bring about the spiritual blessing to all mankind. Even though even the descendants of Ham, the Canaanites, would oppose the descendants of Shem, in the long run, they, in a sense, would help assist Shem and his descendants in bringing the good news of the gospel to the world through the inventions that they came up with, like block printing. Could you imagine how many of us would have Bibles today if we didn't have printing presses? Or commentaries? We wouldn't. They would be so expensive. It would be through the descendants of Ham that the knowledge of God would be preserved and would be spread with the help of Ham and his descendants and the inventions they would come up with. See, God has determined a place for each one of us to serve Him for the greater good. For the greater good of the church and for the greater good of mankind. Are we looking for those opportunities where God is saying, "Here, come serve me in this place because I want to bless..." You know, one of the... Did anybody ever see that movie... Groundhog Day? Yeah. Okay. What's the one thing he figures out finally in the end? Where does his only satisfaction in life come from? Serving others. You know, he starts out, he's all greedy, it's all about me. Then after a while he says, "Well, that's not satisfying." Then it's about, well, who can we play tricks on or whatever. And then finally he gets to the point where if I'm serving others, then I have a purpose. I have a purpose for being stuck in this day over and over again. God has a purpose for our lives. And when we serve others, there is a joy that is within us. We don't need a pat on the back for it. We don't need anybody to tell us because we know what we have done has helped someone else. And that's all that makes a difference. God had determined that the Ham's descendants would be those who would be servants of servants, who would help Shem and Japheth with the calling that God had given each of them in their lives and in their descendants and their genetic predisposition that he put in them, that these would all work together for the good of mankind. And it's only when we let sin into our lives that these things get messed up and we turn them around for our own benefit. So how well are we doing in our service of God today? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this reminder that the truths of your word will stand forever, Father, and that they go on and on and on. And we can see these things as we study your word, as we look at what you've done down through history and in and around the world and in and through us, Father. We just pray today, Father, that as you have directed our hearts toward a reminder of serving you by serving others, that, Father, you would just show us today the places you have for us to serve and the people that you would have us to come alongside and lift up and to encourage and to help, Father, whether it's physical, whether it's material, whether it's spiritual, or Father, whether they just need a hug today. Help us, Father, to see them, to recognize your hand leading us and directing us into their lives. We just thank you for what you're going to do. We thank you, Father, for the joy that it gives us in our hearts when we serve you in these ways. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.